Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Alicia Heyman from Friends of the Eel River. And today we're discussing an upcoming free event, the Eel River Community Meeting, to the Gene Lucas Community Center in Fortuna on Saturday, September 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. It's an opportunity for the community to share information and help guide restoration on the eel. I've got a team of all-star guests today who are true experts on restoration, particularly in the Eel River. And so let's get into some introductions. First, we have Katie Buzel, who is with CDFW. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
We have Ruth Goodfield, who is with NOAA, but she was the former leader of EARWIG, the Eel River Watershed Improvement Group. Hey, Ruth.
Hey, folks. Thanks for having us, Alicia.
We have Marissa Parrish Hansen, who is also with NOAA. Hey, Marissa.
Hello.
And finally, we have Julie Weeder, who is formerly of NOAA, is participating in a restoration planning process as a CDFW volunteer. And some of you might recognize her as Friends of the Eel River's newest staff person. Hey, Julie.
Hey.
So let's just dive right into it and start with talking about this meeting, who's hosting it, and why people should attend.
Okay, so the event's being put on by a group of agency participants, CalFish and Wildlife, NOAA, as well as the Humble RCD.
And what's going to happen at this meeting? Why should people attend this meeting?
Yeah,
looking feedback from the community. Ruth, you want to tell them why?
Sure. This is going to be a big listening event. It's going to be a fish-friendly, fish-focused kind of event. So we're really looking for residents and interested parties and stakeholders and whoever cares about the Eel River to show up with your stories about the Eel River, your photographs of the Eel River, your concerns about the Eel River, your whatever you want to share, and come and share with us. And we'll have some things to share with you as agencies, but really not so much that as having you bring your stories and your interests and your focus about the Eel River and her fishes to us. And so that is kind of the gist of it. And it's going to be on a lovely Saturday. We're going to have a food truck there and some really interested folks. So there you have it.
To the Gene Lucas Community Center in Fortuna on Saturday, September 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. And you will be welcomed with a warm embrace. Wonderful. And so you mentioned this is going to be kind of a listening session. What are the agencies hosting this event going to do with all of this wonderful local knowledge they hope to collect?
Excellent question. And I'll take a quick hit at it and then we'll let Katie kind of chime in. I think what we're planning on doing, we want to make sure that people are heard and actually we're not going to just get rid of that information. We're going to probably roll it up and publish it somehow or let it out to the folks that are interested. But when we do that, we'll be sure to, like I said, roll it up so it won't be specific information about this individual said this or that kind of thing. It will really be what concerns are top that came out on the top per sub watershed, really cool stories, maybe some wonderful pictures, that sort of thing. But we do want to have folks see what we've collected and what those concerns and stories are. So anybody would like to add on to that?
Yeah, maybe we can just step back for a moment and introduce that this is the first part of the Lower Eel River SHARP process. And so SHARP stands for Salmonid Habitat Restoration Priorities. And that is a planning process for this Lower Eel River area from Dyerville to the ocean, including the South Fork main stem and part of the Van Dusen below Yager Creek. And so this will be our first community outreach of meeting, and all that information gathered is really going to go into our first workshop to help get landowner perspectives into this planning process.
And as I understand it, this SHARP program that helps, you know, develop priorities for restoration is larger than the Eel River watershed, but did it get its start here also?
Yeah, it started in the South Fork Eel River. That plan started around 2015 and it was published in 2021. It includes seven of the major tributaries in the South Fork Eel River. And It's also been across Northern California. So it's happened in Lagunitas, Mendocino, and the Russian River as well. This is just another iteration of that process.
And so why would a member of the general public care about this process? You know, what does it mean to have priorities for restoration? Does that direct funding, or does that make it easier for nonprofits like Caltrout or Earwig or other organizations to identify projects? What does it really do on the ground?
You know, we found that with the SHARP efforts that are already completed, the SHARP plan actually has been really helpful for people. The people that are trying to determine what habitat restoration to do and what problems landowners are having and trying to find solutions for both fish and people, they're really heavily involved in developing these plans. And so once the plans are finished, they feel like the plans describe what makes sense to the group of people that knows that place. And so we have found that they are helping people get funding for projects like this. And they're also helping people not have to kind of reinvent the wheel every time they're thinking about something like this. It's like, okay, you know, somebody has thought through this stuff. Say I'm a newcomer to the area, or say I was just hired by a nonprofit and that's doing habitat restoration. You know, you have something that will really help you understand where to go. And that is based on the people that know that place. This is a huge theme of SHARP, is the people that know the watershed are the people that are trying to figure out what to do there. And that's one of the really important parts of this community meeting, is that we want to bring in the people in the community that have been seeing the Eel River their whole lives. Perhaps their family's been there many generations and they've seen things change. And, you know, maybe some things have changed that they like, maybe some things have changed that they're bummed out about. And so to really bring that lived understanding and that deep knowledge of a place into the planning is a really important part of SHARP. Yeah. So that coming to the meeting would be one way that you can really help us understand, what have you seen change over time? What did it look like when you were a kid? Maybe you have some photos you want to show us about your experiences on the Eel or your family's experiences. We'd really love to hear from you.
Wonderful. So, you know, we often talk about the upper watershed as being this really important part of the Eel. It's so special. It's got this really excellent habitat that we can't wait for the fish to reach once the dams are removed. But the lower watershed is incredibly important as well. What can you all tell me about that region? And as Julie mentioned, how it's changed over time?
Yeah, estuaries or the lower rivers provide critical habitat. And every species of salmon and steelhead that come in to every coastal water has to swim through the estuary twice, right? The adults are coming in to reach their spawning grounds, and then the juveniles have to go back through those same habitats on their way out to the ocean. It's also a really productive area where there's a lot of food and an important area for fish to spend time growing before they get to the ocean. The bigger they are in the ocean, the higher chance they are of surviving and coming back as adults.
Do you all imagine that sea level rise is going to be a significant part of this restoration planning process? I know, for example, the lower Eel has one of the highest rates of sea level rise on the West Coast, because the land is sinking at the same rate that the ocean is rising. Is that going to be an important part of restoration prioritization?
Yes, the Humboldt County Resource Conservation District, we mentioned earlier that they were a huge partner in this. One of the wonderful things they've been able to do is to write proposals and get funding to do studies of sea level rise and kind of what sort of infrastructure in terms of roads and tide gates and levees and dikes are there in the lower river, and how are those going to be affected by sea level rise? Also, they've obtained funding to determine, kind of understand where the dirt is going, the dirt in the water, where that's landing. And so that's one of the wonderful things that they've been able to do here, and they will be bringing that into our planning through SHARP as well.
So what else can we say about the significance of the lower river? I know that we see a lot of challenges for fish that are migrating inland, particularly those who are a little bit early to arrive and maybe are holding in the river before the rains have come. What kinds of like early priorities for restoration have been identified already, or can you speak to that?
So I think One important thing to think about here is the lower part of rivers and the estuaries are often a place where people are, as well as where all the fish and the animals are. And it makes sense. They're low and flat. They're very productive. And so that's where people tend to build roads. That's where they tend to grow crops. That's where they tend to graze cattle. That's where they tend to live. And so we all are coexisting and finding, you know, there's many people that live in the Eel River Estuary and work there that are having problems with flooding, problems with sediment kind of filling in places that used to be deeper. And so I just wanted to make sure we cover that we're recognizing that this is a hot spot of human use and fish needs. And we definitely have identified some, you know, aspects of fish habitat that need improvement. And we've also identified, you know, preliminarily some problems people are having. Any of you guys want to go into detail about either of those?
I think kind of you touched on it a little bit, Alicia, that there's fish coming in and then they're kind of getting held up in that early season. So as adults are coming in, if there's not enough water, there's shallow riffles, adults aren't able to move higher up into the watershed and high temperatures. If their fish are making it all the way to that adult stage and coming back to spawn, we want to make sure they can get to the spawning grounds. And some of those high temperatures and low water depths can really impact their survival to make it all the way back to the spawning ground. So definitely restoration in that main stem is identified as a priority, but what to do there and how it can be compatible with all those adjacent land uses like Julie was talking about is part of figuring out as a team and as a community how to move forward with restoration.
So it sounds like this SHARP program is maybe a little different than some other restoration framework in that it's really not just about the fish. It's about the nexus of where fish and people kind of interact. Julie, you mentioned preventing flooding or, you know, some other things that really impact the whole ecosystem of critters that live on the landscape, which I suppose is why it is so important to hear from the community, to hear from the folks who are actually there experiencing these impacts.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, we're all here coexisting on this landscape, learning how to do it together with, you know, the best success. Without having our fishes wink out. So
let's talk about the bigger picture here. Where else have these SHARP programs been implemented across the state?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, it's happened in the South Fork tributaries as well as in Lagunitas Creek. The Russian River, there's four tributaries there that got identified and restoration has been ongoing, as well as our most recent one, which will be published really soon, is the Mendocino Coastal Tributaries. And that includes, you know, Noyo, Garcia, Big, and some of those other tributaries within that area.
And are these, I suppose this is something that I should be aware of, but the SHARP program produces a document or something that the public can look at once it's finished?
Yeah, exactly. I think a big part of our program are these workshops where people come together and make these restoration recommendations. And so a lot of people who are there participating kind of take those recommendations early on and start implementing them. But the part of the SHARP that we come out with is a document, an action plan that has tables and maps describing these restoration recommendations. And that way NGOs can take those and, you know, put or find more precise locations of where these restoration techniques should go and implement them through grant funding.
And they do find that, you know, being able to, when people are trying to decide what should be funded, seeing that there was a plan developed that has state and federal agency support that was developed by so many people that know the place, it seems to be really helping streamline, you know, that it's very, very compelling for funders to say, I see, you know, this was just recently done. You had all the people that we need to be talking to are all there talking and you came up with these recommendations. That seems to be a fairly effective way to get money. So, and then, as I said, you know, it's an ongoing resource that people can look at, say that somebody was wanting to talk to a landowner about what they might want to do on their land. They can actually use the action plan as kind of something to talk to them about. So there's lots of different ways that it seems to be effective.
Wonderful. You're listening to the Eco News Report, talking about restoration planning on the Eel River. The Eel River Community Meeting to the Jean Lucas Community Center in Fortuna on Saturday, September 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. So sticking with this big picture theme, what is it about the Eel River that matters to folks outside of this region? You know, why is the Eel River special to someone who maybe lives in the Bay Area or lives, I don't know, up on the Oregon border, people who care about fish in other parts of the West Coast?
Well, the Eel River is the third largest river in California. You know, it's far enough away from the Bay Area that most people don't have a real strong sense of it. You know, it's a good 4.5-5 hours drive north. But it's actually the source of the water that is diverted into the Russian River to support vineyards in that area further south. And it also was once the third largest producer of salmon and steelhead. The number of fish that came back were just enormous. It is also, you know, when the dams on the Eel River that are associated with the Powder Valley Project, when those come out, it will be one of the few rivers that is free flowing from the headwaters all the way to the ocean. That's really remarkable. And it also does not have a hatchery on it, which is very, you know, often heavily utilized rivers have hatcheries that were built along with dams, and it does not have a hatchery like that. So those are some of the things that are really special about the Eel.
In terms of opportunities for protecting salmon in our entire region, it really has a lot of things going for it.
Just to answer that, yeah, it's a pretty keystone river here on the North Coast of California and on the North Coast of the Pacific, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have some wonderful runs of salmonids here, salmon and steelhead. And then the only thing I was going to add is, you know, here we are. The Eel River is one of the last great cultural strongholds of the salmon culture. We are a salmon community, and we all know it. So we love our fishes here. We love going steelhead fishing. It's tremendous recreational income for the community all along the Eel River. And it's cultural for many of the tribes and old timers that have been here forever. And that includes lamprey, which I'm sure we'll talk a little more about here coming up. But yeah, just, you know, we're salmon strong here in the Eel River. That's an important thing to.
Right. Yes, let's please do talk about lamprey. I'm sure if Marissa McGrew, who works for the Wiat tribe, were here, she would be reminding us to take off our salmon lenses, so to speak. You know, I know that a lot of work that's done in rivers, whether it's restoration work or in our case, often litigation and advocacy, tends to focus on species that have that, like, that legal hook, right, that are listed under the Endangered Species Act or that have some like special status. But lamprey are an incredibly important species here. Does anyone want to like give a little spiel about what makes lamprey so special?
I mean, I think especially in the Eel River, right, the river itself is named after the lamprey, that there was misnomer that a lamprey was an eel, and they were so abundant in the watershed that it kind of gave its colonial name. And they really are just quite a unique aquatic species, and how old they are with their lineage, and that we really don't know a lot about them, and that they come and lay their eggs similar to a salmon. They're making a nest in the gravel and laying their eggs in the rocks. And then as the eggs hatch and make out little baby eyelash, little worms that you can hardly see in the substrates, they burrow and are filter feeding in the substrate with no eyes, and eventually grow and come out, and are also really important to helping offset predation to salmon. So salmon kind of rely on an abundant lamprey population, and vice versa, that it's a great prey species in the freshwater as well as the ocean. And I think there just has been a history of them being a less abundant harvested species, and so I think that's part of what leads to them being underappreciated, but they really are quite spectacular.
And just one thing to add there, it's my understanding that the caloric density of a lamprey is about twice that of a salmon. They have much more fat. And so if you're wanting to eat them to live, like, you know, many people do now and have since time immemorial, you know, they are super important. And if you don't have them, you know, that food source that you need, that really calorically dense food source, is absolutely essential.
Yeah, well said. I love giving the lamprey some love because they, you know, I think they get a bad reputation because they're kind of funny looking, but they really are special. One thing that, as I understand it, you know, salmon tend to go back to their natal stream. So salmon, when they go out to the ocean, they come back in, they look for the place where they were born, and that's where they want to reproduce. But as I understand it, lamprey will somehow detect where their amacetes present when they come into the river. So they're not going back to where they came from. They're going to where the habitat is currently thriving, you know, good, and which is really a like incredible adaptation to be able to sense, like, oh, maybe my home stream is kind of messed up now. Maybe somebody dumped a bunch of dirt there, or the river dried up, or whatever. So I'm going to go where I know there's babies that are alive right now. And so I think lamprey probably deserves some recognition as not only being a delicious nutritional source, but also as being pretty darn clever.
So cool.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked a lot about restoration priorities and all this great work that we're hoping that will result from this planning effort. I want to talk just a little bit more about, why should people attend this event? When is it? Where is it? I understand that there's going to be a food truck there. There might be some incentive for people to get there early. Can anyone speak to those logistics?
Yeah, I can jump in. So why should people go? We want to hear from you, and your perspectives need to be heard in this planning process so that we can create a shared vision for a healthy Eel River and watershed, which will benefit not only fish, but everybody who lives there. It's on September 27th from 11 to 2 at the Gene Lucas Community Center in Fortuna. And we hope to see you all there. The first 40 people will get a voucher to the food truck that will be on site. And so hopefully you can come and show up early and come talk with us.
Great. And where can people go if they want more information about this process or this community meeting?
Yep, we have a website online. If you type in SHARP, we have a NOAA page with all SHARP links. It also has past plans there, so you can look at, you know, what has happened in past iterations of this across the North Coast. And you can also look into that South Fork Eel River SHARP and see what we're doing there to restore and recover this species. Yeah, and you can also look at the CDFW website for the North Coast Salmon Project.
And specifically for the community meeting, I believe that the Humboldt County Resource Conservation District website, it will have information posted there about the specific event. And it's going to be on a Saturday. You can come and go. Don't feel like you have to be there the whole time. And really, we're going to have a lot of people there that are there to talk to you. That's the whole reason we're there. So you come in, we're not going to be talking amongst ourselves about cool fish stuff. We're there to talk to you about cool fish stuff and cool Eel River community stuff. So we really want to hear from you, and we will be taking notes so that, as was mentioned, we won't put your name on anything, but it's important for us to be keeping track of what you're telling us so that we can bring that into this SHARP process. And so it will be worth your time. I think you'll have a good time. I think you'll see that we're interested in talking with you, and you'll be able to give us whatever it is you want to tell us, including a piece of your mind. If you're upset about something, if you're worried about something, if you're annoyed about something, if you're not sure how something's working, you know, that you heard in the Eel and you want to understand it better, all of those things are great. Please just come and talk with us.
Wonderful. So folks, bring your fishtails, your concerns, your questions, your insights to the Gene Lucas Community Center in Fortuna on Saturday, September 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. And you will be welcomed with a warm embrace, I suppose. Anything else that any of you want to add about the wonderful work that you're doing? Yes.
I just wanted to add, logistically, there is an email address that you can write to RSVP. You don't have to RSVP to the event, but we already have heard from some folks. Are you able to say what that is, what that email address is? Do you have it, Marissa?
It's eelriversharp at googlegroups.com.
And we will put all of these links as well as that email address into the show notes. So for those of you who are listening to this as a podcast rather than live on the radio, you can see all this information in the detailed description of this episode. To the Jean Lucas Community Center in Fortuna on Saturday, September 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Eco News Report. And please tune in next week for more news from the North Coast.